This is session number two, an overview of the Gospel according to John. The book of John was written to show Jesus as God manifest in the flesh. It shows his deity as the Son of God more clearly than any other gospel. We see him as the eternal Word and light of God. Throughout the gospel, it confirms his deity through his words and his works. Those who receive the truth of his words and works become sons of God, and those who reject are left in darkness. John is unique from all the other gospel accounts, as it's the only book that focuses quite a bit on Jesus' time spent in Jerusalem at the feast days throughout his 3.5-year ministry. John also is the only gospel account that reveals Jesus' private instruction to the 11 true apostles in the upper room, where he teaches on our relationship with him, our relationship with other believers, the Holy Ghost and his ministry, and his Father in heaven. This gospel account is written to the whole world to show them that he is complete perfection, and that anyone may have the gift of eternal life through faith in him. One of the things we're going to see here is that John is going to reveal the identity of Jesus Christ and the identity of the Father and even the identity of the Holy Ghost, unlike any of the other gospel accounts. And he reveals the identity in a very direct sense. You can see John is somebody who he thinks very deep, he thinks very contemplatively, and he's someone who thinks and pierces through to the heart. He wants to understand the heart of things. And that's why it's all about identity with John. Just quick, before we overview John, if you look at Matthew, Jesus is not revealed directly. His identity is not revealed directly, but Jesus' identity is revealed through his kingdom and through the instruction of his kingdom. The Gospel of Matthew, very much heavy on the instruction of the kingdom of heaven and a little bit about the kingdom of God. And so as you begin to understand this kingdom, it's helping you understand the king, but it's not so much as a direct revelation. The book of Mark reveals Jesus as the Christ through his works, through his service, through his deeds. See him as the servant in Mark, and he's just action-packed, and he's just straightway, he's taking care of business. Not a lot of instruction, not a lot of background, just jump right into action. And it's revealing that Jesus the Christ is so worthy, and yet, he was still willing to humble himself and work so hard. You see, there's a lot of guys who sit on thrones at the top, but they didn't work their way to the top. They were handed it. But Jesus Christ really just proves himself. But again, he's being revealed through his deeds. In the gospel, according to Luke, you're seeing his perfect judgment and piercing to the hearts of men. And how he judges man, and how he separates who's righteous versus who's wicked, who's humble versus who's prideful. And you see his grace being ministered to the humble, and you just see his brilliant mind and just his perfect judgment. And so again, it's revealing him as the Christ, but it's revealing it in through his ability to pierce and discern through to the heart. But it's not a direct revelation. When we get to the gospel according to John, we finally see Jesus Christ begin to be revealed directly, where actually Jesus himself preaches himself. You don't really see that going on in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are not talking about a different man. It's all talking about the same man and the exact same ministry for 3.5 years. But they're focusing on different aspects. The Holy Ghost is using them to reveal different things. And John, who spent the most time with Christ, he was right there with him all the time, in the gospel according to John, we're seeing this time with Jesus in Jerusalem with chief priests and Pharisees, and you're seeing him at these feast days, and it's not really revealed in the other gospels. It's very special. And what's unique is that in John, I guess Jesus Christ at these feast days really revealed himself directly. He preached himself directly. And it's unique because he doesn't seem he really did that in the other regions as much per se. I think it's really just showing Jesus's faithfulness to really shine the full light in Jerusalem in the temple. Because these were when he was at the feast day. So he's at the temple, he's in Jerusalem. This is the city of the great king. This is the place where he will rule this earth one day. His throne will be seated in Jerusalem. He loved Jerusalem, and he really shone his light the brightest there. And the amazing thing is that where he shone his light the brightest is where he was rejected and hated the most. And you've probably heard before about the four beasts in Revelation as being pictures of the different four gospels. And I'd say it's pretty accurate. The first beast was the lion. The second beast is the ox. The third beast is the man. The fourth beast is the eagle. And the lion representing Jesus being presented as King of the Jews in Matthew. The ox as the servant, the hard worker, as he's represented in Mark. The man representation in Luke. And then the eagle. Eagle's the one heavenly creature of those things. And this is really, again, showing his deity so clearly, showing you he's the one who came from heaven and went back to heaven. Now, let's go to a quick overview in terms of the different sections. There's a lot of ways you can break these gospels down. I see the gospel according to John as unfolding in eight clear sections. The first section will be the introduction. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. This is where Jesus is revealed as the Word and as the light. We'll talk more about that later. Second section will be the ministry of John the Baptist, which is chapter 1, verse 19 to 36. And then also there's a little bit at the end of chapter 3, verse 25 to 36. And this is showing the ministry of John the Baptist. He's the voice to prepare the way for the Word. He's a light shining in the wilderness to prepare the way for the true light. And his whole ministry was preparation for the one to come. He didn't preach himself. He preached the one to come. Then we see the early ministry of Christ and his beginning to assemble disciples and his rise to popularity. And that's from chapter 1, verse 37 until the end of chapter 4. And in this section, we see him starting to assemble disciples. We see his first miracle at the marriage supper at Cana. We see him come into the temple and overthrow the money chambers and really just come in with just a strong entrance into the temple there at the first feast day that he spent in his ministry at Jerusalem. And then we see conversations with Nicodemus, and we see him healing, and we see him opting to take the way through Samaria and to meet a woman at the well there and do some ministry with the Samaritans. The fourth section I see is his ministry of controversy and opposition. This is chapters 5 through 12. Chapter 5 is where the opposition and controversy about Jesus really begins. I mean, the opposition begins to be strong, and you see the Jews and the religious leaders, they just hate him and they want to destroy him. And that goes from chapter 5 through to the end of chapter 12. And this is the rest of his ministry. And there's a lot that goes on. Won't overview it right now, but that's the fourth section. The fifth section is precious. And this is really, most of this material is only found in John. And this is the Upper Room Discourse. And this is where you see him with the 12 apostles. And then after the supper and after the washing of feet, Judas leaves, and then there's just the 11 true apostles left, and you see Jesus just teaching and instructing. Wonderful, wonderful material there. The sixth section I see is his betrayal, trial, and crucifixion and burial. And that's chapters 18 and 19. And then the seventh section would be his resurrection and appearances in chapter 20. And then chapter 21 is unique. It's kind of like a bonus chapter. It's kind of like additional information and a conclusion. Just like there was an introduction, this is kind of the conclusion to wrap up the gospel according to John. A unique story in the resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. In the gospel according to John, there are eight I ams of Jesus Christ. Eight times where Jesus says, I am. He says, I am the bread of life in John chapter 6. He says, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 12. He says, I am he, or even just I am, which is really declaring that he is the God of the Old Testament. And that's in John chapter 8. He says, I am the door, John chapter 10. He says, I'm the good shepherd, John chapter 10 as well. I am the resurrection and the life, John chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. And the last of the eight I ams is I am the true vine, and that's John chapter 15. So you have eight I ams of Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus is revealing himself directly in this gospel account. Very unique. In this gospel account, there's eight miracles recorded of Jesus Christ. There's the water into wine in John chapter 2. There's the healing of the nobleman's son in John chapter 4. There's the raising the man who was impotent for 38 years. That's John chapter 5. There's the feeding the 5,000 in the wilderness, John chapter 6. The calming the raging storms at sea, John chapter 6. Giving sight to the man blind since birth, John chapter 9. Raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, John chapter 11. And then lastly, the catching of the 153 fish in John 21. Each of these miracles really, that first off, they're real. He did these things. But they really symbolize different aspects of Christ's salvation work and his transformation work that he does on us as lost people becoming believers and saints, and the things he's trying to work with us. They're wonderful studies. I also see eight public teachings of Christ to the lost. Eight public teachings, and these are huge. Very important to spend time with these public teachings of Jesus Christ, the things that he revealed about himself, the things that he revealed about faith, the things that he revealed about eternal life. Very important. The first one is to Nicodemus in Jerusalem at John chapter 3. And he reveals, I'm not going to get into all this, I'm trying to keep it simple, but the main point is that you must be born again. Then there's to the woman at the well in Samaria, John chapter 4. And he's revealing that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit truth, and ultimately revealing that he is that Messiah. The third teaching is to the Jews at one of the feasts in Jerusalem in John chapter 5. And he's basically revealing that whatever the Father does is what the Son does. Whatever the Father has, he's given to the Son. And he's just showing this very powerful passage, John chapter 5. Then there's to the multitude that was fed in Capernaum, John chapter 6. And this is where he's revealing that he is the bread of life. There's no life apart from Jesus Christ. The fifth one is to the Jews at the Feast of Tabernacles at Jerusalem in John chapter 7. And Jesus is just revealing that the doctrine that he preaches is of the Father, and anyone who will do the will of the Father can know who Jesus Christ is. Anyone. And that those who believe in him, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. The sixth one is to the Jews in the treasury after the woman was freed from adultery, John chapter 8. And he's just revealing that he's from above and they're from beneath. He is of God and they're of the devil. The seventh one is to the Jews after the healing of the blind man, and it's at the dedication. And this is John chapter 10. And he is basically revealing he's the good shepherd, and he will call his sheep by name, and they will follow him, and he will give them eternal life. And the last public teaching is to the multitude a few days before the Passover, which is ultimately the cross in Jerusalem in John chapter 12. And he's just revealing that he's going to go to the cross, he's going to die, but through it, he's going to bring forth much fruit. And he's revealing that he is the light, and they better walk in the light while they got it, or else darkness will get them, and that they'll be judged on the last day, and there'll be no escape. So these are the eight public teachings of Christ to the lost. There's also wonderful instruction in the upper room. We're not going to go over that right now. And there's also wonderful, powerful things that Christ reveals in his prayer to the Father in chapter 17. This book is really so deep. In one sense, it's very simple. It's very simple in terms of the language of the book. But I'm telling you, I've been reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and studying it and teaching it for 16 years. And every time I come back to it, God's just taking me deeper in the understanding of the truths here in this gospel. The main point, the whole point is though why John wrote this book. He tells us in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he says, "There's many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." He says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John wrote this book as the beloved disciple who was close to the heart of Jesus, and he had walked with Jesus, and he believed in Jesus with all his heart, and he saw Jesus glorified, and he saw Jesus prevail, he saw Jesus ascend into heaven, and he had such a love for Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, John knew the Father, and he loved the Father, and he was filled with the Spirit of Christ. And John wanted people to come to the same faith that he had. He wanted people to have the same love and the same heart for the truth that he had. He wanted people to know God in such an intimate and real way, the same way that Christ had given to him. And he wrote this book really to get anybody started on this journey. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to go through this book with you. I'm excited to look at these things because it really is wonderful. Like I said, all of the gospel accounts are revealing Jesus Christ and giving us a more full picture. But the gospel according to John truly reveals the identity of who Jesus is. And it opens up who he is. And through opening up who he is, we can know the Father. And Jesus said, "This is life eternal. This is eternal life, that they," that's those of us who believe in him, "might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent." May we come to know the true God and Jesus Christ through this book written by John. Amen.